I'll say it again. When you start talking about the glory of God, you're just a little bit inhibited in that, intimidated. How do you approach a subject this big? The glory of God being all of God himself. The glory of God being the weight of the splendor of God. Everybody say splendor. I said to you last time, and I want to repeat it because, and thank you, Pastor Tim, for that wonderful word last week. Whatever you do, and do it for the glory of God. I received a lot out of that, and I believe you did too, for our daily walk with the Lord. I said a couple of weeks ago, though, the last time I ministered, I said this. I said, to the degree that a church experiences the glory of God, that church then becomes a covering of glory. So as I just said in my introductory remarks before you sat down, I want to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ walking and ministering the way Jesus did. Don't you have that longing in your heart? Isn't there something there? I wonder if some of us haven't even questioned, why does the church sometimes look so much different than it did in the book of Acts when you actually read your Bibles? So to the extent that a church experiences God and experiences the glory of God manifested, that church then becomes a covering and is able to release that glory. When we ended a couple of weeks ago, we ended with Acts chapter 2. We'll go to that in a minute. Acts chapter 2 and verse 2 that says, when the Holy Spirit, now he manifests the glory of God. The Holy Spirit comes and brings and manifests the glory of God in our day. Jesus was the glory of God in the flesh when he was here. He sent us then the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came, Acts 2 tells us that he came with the sound. They actually heard something. It was a miraculous manifestation of God coming to the earth in the form of the Holy Spirit. They did not see the Holy Spirit. He is spirit. They did not see him with natural eyes. But what they heard was the sound like a tornado, like a violent tempest blast. And the Bible says the sound filled the whole house. Everybody say filled the house. The sound filled the whole house where they were sitting, where they had been worshiping and praying. And then later it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So everybody just follow me in this. Say this, say first, the house got filled. Then they all got filled. Now I want you to see that we sometimes try to reverse that order. We try to get everybody filled so the house will be filled. But the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit came, he filled the house first. Now, there is a strong, strong principle in this. What we don't understand in our sort of modern day contemporary society is we pick churches like we pick a pair of shoes. We pick churches like we pick our restaurants. I like Abuelos. I don't like El Torreo as much as I do Abuelos. But I go to El Torreo because it's cheaper and convenient. I don't like little hole-in-the-wall dining places. I like Carlos and Carrabba's and Luigi's. And okay, y'all say she's just got too expensive tastes. I'm just telling you, if I've got my preference, I didn't say I go there every week, but if I've got my preference, you understand? But I pick restaurants based on my taste. And if we're not careful, that culture that has gotten in us with all of our freedom, shout freedom, with all of our freedoms in America, the culture that we're in will begin to dictate to us that when we start looking at church, we do the same thing. We say, well, it's convenient. I don't want to drive 30 minutes. It's convenient, so I'm going to go here. Or, well, it's really not my style, but you know, it's grandma's church and I feel loyal to grandma, so I'm going to go because it's grandma's church. When the fact of the matter is, the criteria for going to a church should be, is God there? Is his glory welcome there? If his glory is there, you don't have to worry about it being a friendly church. If his glory is there, you don't have to worry about it being a loving, kind church. If his glory is there, you don't have to worry about, am I going to get fed? If his glory is there, you don't have to scrutinize what the pastor dresses like. If His glory is there, you don't have to worry about the color of the people around you. If His glory is there, He's there, and everything you need is there. And everything the world around us needs is there. So what we don't maybe understand this morning is what we've just been singing is we have been inviting His glory. Those weren't just random songs. Those were songs of invitation. And as I listened to you sing, I thought, oh Lord, they are inviting you. They are really inviting you. Now, are we okay with that? Are we good if He comes? But the order we've gotten wrong is, God, bless me, fill me. But we aren't thinking about the fact of, am I in a house that's filled? Because you won't be filled and you won't stay filled unless you're in a covering full of glory. Somebody say glory on the house. Now, I don't believe by any means, lest you think that I'm trying to preach some type of superiority of this church. I don't believe we're the only church in Roanoke, Virginia that's inviting the glory of God in. You understand? But I can double dog guarantee you that we're going to be one of them. We're going to be one of them. And we may be used to lead the way for some others as well. So who got filled first? The house. Filled up with His glory. I want us to talk today about glory on the house. The book of Haggai, the prophet Haggai and Zechariah were both used of the Lord to help rebuild the temple after the captivity and their return. And the Lord spoke through Haggai and said as they were working to finish the temple, and I will shake the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. I believe that means Jesus. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. I will shake the nations. I will fill this temple with glory. Again, the weight of all my splendor. Glory, glorious, glorify is used over 500 times in the scriptures. Why do we want to bring people to a church? We're getting ready to host a great Christmas celebration, hosting the celebration of the coming of Jesus to the earth on December 17th. I hope if you haven't already, you've gotten some of those miracle invite cards. The theme this year is miracle. And I hope that you've gotten some invite cards. If not, they are available in the lobby. Get as many as you need. If we've got extras, put them out so everyone can take invite cards. But why do we want to bring people here? Have you ever wondered, why do we want to bring people to church? You might use the argument against that, saying, well, Pastor Vanny, people can find God anywhere. They can come to know God anywhere. And that is true, isn't it? And that should be happening. And you know what? I long for the day when more people get saved out in your small group than get saved in the altar. I long for the day when more people get saved in your workplace than they do right here in the church service. So yes, people can come to know God anywhere. And I know about that up close and personal because Carrie's second brother had wandered from the Lord and strayed from the Lord, very rebellious against the things of God for many years as a young man. And yet he had grown up in church hearing the word preached. His father was a pastor. But I remember when he gave his life over to the Lord, he was on a cross-country trip touring America, looking at all of the grandeur of the creation. And it was through the creation that God spoke to Stan and got hold of his heart, and Stan gave his life to the Lord. So you see, it doesn't have to be in a church building. I agree. And yes, Lord, please let it happen more and more outside of this church building. Amen. But what happens when we come shout together? What happens when we come together is holy. What happens when we come together is anointed. What happens when we come together? Why do we bring people to church? Why do we invite people to come with us together to church? I know, I hear it all the time. I love the Lord, I just don't go to church. Well, I think it's because we've gotten a tainted concept of what coming together to church is all about. But it is holy and it is anointed and it releases glory when we come together. Together. We come here to exalt the Lord, shout together. We come here to praise the Lord. We come here to pray for one another together. We come here to go into the Word of God, which is alive and active. We come to go into the Word together. And when we come together, we see the Lord. We see the Lord. When we come and sing, come into this place. Come with your power, come with your grace, come with your anointing, come Holy Spirit. We see the Lord. We see the Lord. Isaiah 6 and verse 1, Isaiah had a vision. And he said in that vision, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne. And the temple was, shout, filled. The temple was filled with his glory. Whenever we exalt and magnify, and we were talking about it a few minutes ago in song. Whenever we exalt and magnify the Lord, he fills the room with his glory, his presence. When we come together and begin to talk about him and share the magnificence of the Lord, when we reflect on what the Lord has done, he fills the room with his glory. When we sing the songs that are inviting him and praising him and magnifying him, saying, lift him up. You know why we do that? He doesn't need to be lifted up on the cross anymore. He got lifted up once for that. For our salvation, we lift him up in our sight so that everything else we've been watching this week, everything else we've been focusing on this week comes down and he gets lifted up. When we say, we lift you up, we lift you up. You know, he's as high as he can get. He's seated at the right hand of the Father and the majesty of God. But we lift him up for us. We magnify him because we need to see him. I believe that whatever you exalt and whatever you magnify will fill the room. Not just when we come together to worship God. It's true. He fills the room. He made the statement to his nation Israel that I inhabit and dwell in the praises of Israel. So I know that God inhabits praise and he inhabits our worship and our prayers. God inhabits, God lives in that. But I submit to you today that anything you magnify fills the room. You can begin to badmouth somebody. You can begin to gossip. You can begin to be critical of people and be in a conversation just with your girlfriend. And y'all just decide you're going to rag on somebody that you both don't like at the office water cooler. And begin talking about what she ain't doing. And you know, she's going to come to work dressed like that. Oh, forgive me, but y'all need to get real today. I'm talking this conversation with just your best friend. I'm only going to say this to you because we need to pray for her. And the problem is you get about 15 minutes of bashing in and then you say, now Jesus bless her, help her. That's what I call warfare in the spirit right there. But it's a negative warfare. You on the wrong team with that one, honey. And what happens when you begin to criticize, you begin to tear down, you begin to find fault with anything. And there's that agreement there. You're doing it together. You're coming together to destroy someone's reputation. Do you know what happens? An atmosphere begins to be created. A foreboding spirit fills the room. You can go look that up later. A yucky spirit fills the room. And you leave the water cooler thinking, I need a bath. And your mouth does. If you start reflecting on good times, you know, hopefully around your Thanksgiving tables Week before last, you reflected on good times. I didn't because I was so stressed out from cooking, I couldn't enjoy a thing. But. And my husband can say amen because I know he's thinking that. You can be together and start reflecting on good times. And start talking about moments that were fun and funny. And you know what? When you've lost someone, this is so good to do. When you get around, start talking about mom, what mama did or what daddy did. Or, you know, it's so healing to be able to reflect on all those good memories, isn't it? But, you know, you can come together, shout together, and you can start talking about the good times and the good things. And you know what begins to happen? Before you know it, you're laughing. Before you know it, there's a joy in the room. A lightness fills the room. In fact, you could have even been feeling badly before you started talking about those great things. And I'm not just talking about a mental thing here. This is a spiritual principle that whatever you're going to magnify is going to fill the room. How important it is that we worship Jesus when we come in here. Whatever you're going to magnify, if you're going to magnify the good things, there's going to be a joy that's going to fill the room. If you're going to magnify the things you hate and are critical about, there's going to be a foreboding spirit that fills the room. Is anybody here in this preacher today? Years ago, when I was a young, stupid college student, I went with a bunch of my friends. We were in Joplin, Missouri, because our denomination back then had a conference there every other year or something. And so we just decided there's this thing in Joplin. It's a phenomenon of some sort. And then others say it ain't nothing but car lights being reflected off of a nearby road. But they call it the spook light. The spook light. And what happens is you go out on this road and, you know, you turn the lights off. All the cars turn their lights off. And you wait long enough. There's this light. I mean, I've seen it. There's this little light. Either that or it's the power of suggestion. But you end up seeing something, you know. And you can Google it. Don't do it right now, but you can Google it. You Google spook light and it'll take you to Joplin, Missouri and a couple other places in the world where it's like this light appears at a certain time of night, you know. So we went out, you know, because, of course, Pentecostal college people don't have much they can do. We couldn't go to movies. You know, we couldn't dance. So we had to go look at spook lights. Okay, I'm sorry. And we get out there and we're a van full of college kids. You know, nothing to do, sit there and wait on the spook light to appear. And never occurred to me that as we began to talk, we might be inviting demonic spirits to come in and fill our minds with fear. But that's exactly what began to happen. We began to talk about everything scary that we ever heard about. You know, ghosts, houses, demons, manifestations. I mean, we should be, and I mean, you know, college kids, well, I'm going to one-up you on that one, you know. And the stories got scarier and scarier. And after a while, I'm like, you know, I'm wanting my mama and daddy. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, where's mama when I need her? She knows how to handle the devil, you know. And especially when the stupid light appeared out there or whatever it was, you know. And you know what filled that van? Can you imagine? We were magnifying, really, demons. And what demons, things we'd heard that demons had done. And as we started to talk about that, come on, y'all, are y'all with me today? It began, that atmosphere began to fill the van. To the point where, hey, we were, hey, let's just go back in town. Let's get out of here now. But one of the college students, one of my friends there said, he said, you know, I've heard it said that when you talk about demons, when you get together and you're just going to talk about demons, that they're attracted to that. Now, see, I know some of y'all don't think I'm right anyway. So this is making you just, I knew it. She is over there. No, I'm just telling you what I did when I was a stupid young college kid. I got more sense than to do that now. But if I'm going to talk about them now, I'm teaching people how to cast them out. So, but you know, I just was looking for something to do on a Friday night, you know. So, but what happened was I experienced that myself. That when you want, if you want to get together and just start talking about the power of devils, devils will be glad to come. And this is why so many people experience what they think is supernatural power, and actually they're just inviting demonic activity to come and show out a little bit for them. Boy, I said a whole lot there. So, whatever you magnify is going to fill the room. But how much more powerful is it? How much more powerful, all powerful is it, when we magnify the Lord When we talk about the goodness of the Lord, when we tell each other about the good things that He's done, you know what happened for me at Freedom Conference yesterday? You know what the Holy Spirit did for me this week? Can I tell you, I just got my baptism in the Holy Spirit. Hey, I prayed in tongues for the first time this week. Can I tell you, Brother Winston told me today he's starting to see out of that eye that he couldn't see out of. I want to hear stuff like that. When you start talking about that, come on, someone. When you start talking about that, you start talking about His glory, His beauty, His majesty, His miracles. You know, all through the Gospels that I referenced a while ago, they would start, His fame that we sang about would be noised abroad. And the crowds would come, and His Spirit would be poured out there with miraculous manifestation. The people were coming, talking about what He was doing. I want to be a church where we make Him famous. Not famous for church splits. Not famous for church arguments. Not famous for our doctrine. But famous for His glory. His manifest glory. As we exalt Him, we will see what Isaiah saw, His glory filling the room. You say, is there a scriptural precedent for what you're talking about? Oh, of course, I would hopefully not be standing here if there were not. At the completion of the tabernacle of Moses, we'll go to old and then we'll go to new. Because we don't live in the old, we live in the new. Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant. But at the completion of that tabernacle that God told Moses to set up in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 40, the Bible says, and Moses was not able to enter into the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it and the glory. What does that say? The glory of the Lord. What does it say? Filled the tabernacle. I hope you're beginning to sense the presence of God on you right now. I tried studying this week, and I'm going to be honest with you. As I was trying to type the notes, my hands began to burn with the anointing of God because I was meditating on the glory of God. I mean, let me have my moment. Don't shoot me down for that. My hands just began to feel like they were on fire with the anointing of God. Why? I'm studying and talking about and praying about His presence and His glory. So that tabernacle, God filled it with His glory. Moses couldn't even go in to minister. Now, I'm going to say this right here, and I don't want you to get me wrong. We believe in having church decent and in order. Every one of you look decent today. And we got a lot of people, you look real good. And we got a lot of people helping keep order. I believe in doing church, whatever that's supposed to mean, decent and in order. But I also believe in times when the preacher can't stand to preach. When the apostle can't even go to the platform. Because I just need to know if there's anybody who really is okay with seeing that. If that were to come, are we okay with that? It doesn't mean we don't want the word. No, it doesn't mean I don't ever want pastor to preach. It just means I want pastor to be so overcome by the glory that all of us are so overcome that somehow the manifest presence of God ministers. Somehow the word of God is distributed to every one of us and nobody even had to open their mouth on occasions. Now, it didn't happen that way all the time. There were lots of times Moses preached. And Moses judged and Moses talked to him. But on this occasion, he couldn't go in. And then, shout glory on the house. And then in 2 Chronicles, there's another temple. And this time it's Solomon's temple. That temple that everything in it was pure gold or overlaid with gold. And the Bible says the priests and the singers and the musicians began to sing, "For the Lord is good." What are they doing? They're making Him famous. They're magnifying Him. They began to sing, "For the Lord is good, and His loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting." What are they doing? They're having a praise and worship service, what we call praise and worship now. They began to sing. The trumpeters were blowing their trumpets, 120 of them. The priests were worshiping, the singers, all the singers, the dancers. It was a processional of praises unto God. And the Bible says at that moment, another cloud. Now I'm going to read this, and I'm going to tell you there's something about this cloud. But then the cloud of God's glory came and filled the temple. And then look at verse 14. So that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord, tell me what it did. Say glory on the house.
Glory on the house.
Are you beginning to feel this morning? For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Glory on the house. Now, I fully believe that what they saw as a cloud, the presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit manifested in a cloud. When Jesus died on the cross, went in the tomb, resurrected on the third day, walked about for 40 days, telling of the kingdom of God, manifested himself on earth, resurrected for 40 days, then ascended to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. I believe that cloud that you see throughout the Old Testament moved in you. I said, I believe the cloud that had to be manifested on a house then, because that, as Jesus himself said, up until now, you have not received the Holy Spirit, but the day will come when I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And it says this, he spoke concerning the Spirit that he was about to pour out. So I believe for everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, what you look at in the Old Testament and see, wow, there was a cloud on the temple. Wow, there's a cloud on that tabernacle in the wilderness. That cloud now lives in you. Now lives in you. And we come together. There may be times you may feel like you spiritually see something, but whether you see it with your eyes or not, I want you to know he is in you. I want you to know he is in you. And when we come together and we magnify him together, we're supposed to be releasing that glory here in this place. Glory on the house. Well, then we go to the New Testament and what I started out with today. And that is that Acts chapter 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled what? The whole house. It filled what? The whole house. I want Jesus, I'm asking you right now, make this a place where you fill the whole house. Not just this room where these doors are closed. All the way back from the one end to the other and the parking lot, and spill out onto Peters Creek Road. And spill out onto Salem Turnpike, Lord. And fill this place. And then, Lord, we want to fill a region. We want to see a region filled. I started this series out telling you from Habakkuk that the Bible says the day comes when the knowledge, the awareness of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. Will cover the earth. God can't cover the earth unless he's still is filling his churches. He can't cover the earth with his glory unless his churches are allowing him to manifest his glory there, where the place is called by his name. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then in Acts 10, it doesn't say that it was like the glory of God, but we know it is now the presence of the Holy Spirit. What was called glory of God in the Old Testament becomes presence of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And in Acts 10 verse 44, while Peter was still speaking the way I'm talking to you today, oh, very anointed though I know he was, I'd love to have that kind of anointing where while I am speaking, the Holy Spirit falls upon everyone who can physically hear my words. While he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all. What happened? The house got filled again. It may not say those words, but when everybody in the house begins to get filled with the Holy Spirit, you know the capacity of the house just reached critical mass. The Holy Spirit has filled that place. And Peter explained it this way later in chapter 11 when he was telling the church about it, because he had to explain what happened because some didn't understand. And today some still don't always understand what the Holy Spirit is doing. But Peter explained and said, guys, as I began to speak, and all he was doing was magnifying Jesus. All he was doing was presenting the crucified and risen Jesus to them. He said, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. That tells me if Peter's saying, hey guys, it happened the same way it just happened to us a short while ago, I believe once again the whole house got filled and then everyone in the house got filled. He's saying the same thing happened. Say glory on the house. And then you go a few chapters over to Acts chapter 16. Are y'all still with me today? This is not going to be long. I'm almost done. Acts chapter 16, you have what some call the first jailhouse rock. Elvis didn't create it. Elvis didn't write the song. Holy Ghost wrote the song. If Elvis had gotten saved and filled with the Spirit, he'd have written it for the church. I loved Elvis. Not bashing Elvis. Hope he's in heaven. Acts 16, Verse 25 and 26, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What do you think's happening when you're praying and singing hymns to God? You're magnifying. Anything you magnify fills the room. Look at your neighbor and tell him what you're magnifying is filling the life, filling your life. What you are magnifying is filling your life. If you have spent your week worrying about things that haven't even happened yet, you just filled your life with fear and doubt. But if you will spend this week magnifying the word of God over that situation, you will find the glory of the Lord fill your life. So they could have sang, I'm in bondage, Jesus. Come, Lord, and take me home. When will you come, Jesus? I don't know if I can hold on. Oh, give me a beer. Drown me in my sorrow. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I have been with a bunch of crazy people all weekend. Disclaimer on anything I do today. I am technically not present. I need y'all to stay for second service because I don't know what's going to happen then. This red tape on the carpet up here, if you're close enough to see it, is not here just because we decided to add a little red to our logo. But during our conference, it symbolizes crossing the blood of Jesus. And so this is where a whole lot of great things have been happening this weekend. And I'm a little bit caught up in that. They could have sang a song about their shackles and their bondage and how they were wrongfully accused. And oh, Jesus, come and plead my case for me. But the Bible says they were praying and singing hymns to God. And it does not say the cloud rolled in. Again, I submit to you, the cloud had already gone into them. The Holy Spirit had already come into them. It does not say, but it does say that the whole jailhouse was filled. Do you know how I know that? Because suddenly there was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison. Now, the last thing you want if you're a warden is for the very foundations of a prison to crumble. The very foundations of the prison were shaken and immediately. Oh, wait a minute. Shaken. Where did I hear that today? And I will shake all nations. And I will fill this temple with my glory. So the foundations were shaken, and immediately all the doors flew open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And God, if you can't preach that, you can't preach. So I'm not going to go there because I'll take off and do something and lose my voice. So it's like when we magnify Him, and He fills the place, and He sends the Spirit to shake the place, then we can look around at people that have been trying to get free for decades, are suddenly free. I don't know what those prisoners thought, but I know they were sure happy they had Paul and Silas in that jail that night. Hey, wait a minute. I'm fixing to zoom it on home to you. And there's a whole host of people in your life right now that are going to be so happy that God put you in their path because you're carrying the glory of God. And they're going to wake up one day soon. They're going to wake up and the shackles are going to be off their feet and the chains are going to be off their mind. Hey! Hey! Hey, Jesus! Fill this place, Lord! Fill this place, Lord! Fill this place, Lord! Fill this place, Lord! Shout glory on the house! Sit down, we're going to finish. Have you ever heard anybody say, have you ever heard, things like that just don't happen anymore. You know, I love reading the Bible, but things like that, we just live in a new day. And things like that don't happen anymore. Do you know Bishop Hurd, when he was here, I believe, told us about this? There is a man in the underground church in China who had a visitation, a vision of a man dressed and clothed in white. And the man said, I want you to begin to write this. And he didn't know what he was writing. And he began to write, and he wrote until he'd written pages and pages and pages. And someone came along and began, and one of the American missionary, or I think it was YWAM or somebody like that, that was over the Youth with a Mission, somebody like that was over there, some American representative said, well, let me see what you wrote. And he goes, well, can you translate this for me? And what the words he wrote were, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you know what he wrote? He wrote out the entire book of St. John, as dictated to him in a vision, in a visitation. Don't tell me what don't happen. That's right now. That's today. That's today. I just want to know that we are a church. We don't need that. We've got Bibles stacked on our shelves. But we need a visitation of God. We need the glory of God in our midst. I want to be hungry, and I want a church that's hungry. God, stimulate my hunger. God, make me miserable where I've been. I want you to feel good. I want you to leave here better than you came. But I want you miserable with where you've been. I want you wanting more. We've asked for it in this song today. More of your glory, Lord. People say things like, I wonder why more things don't happen now. If you're honest, you've said it. I've said it. I've said it recently. I've said it in talking with my husband. And you know what? It's risky to step out and talk like this in a pulpit, because then you got to follow up. You got to walk like you believe what you preach. There can be many reasons why we don't see the things today that when we read the Gospels we see. And not just the Gospels, but again, the book of Acts. I just completed the book of Acts again. And it just messes me up. It just messes me up. There can be a lot of reasons. I believe one reason is false doctrine. Doctrines that teach us that we should not expect that anymore. That has passed away and was for another era. I believe what Evangelist Sean Smith said to us when he was here. I fully believe that God would not start his church in more power than he will end his church. When Jesus comes back, I don't believe he's going to have a church in the earth. He says it's going to be without spot and without wrinkle. Only he can do that. But I do not believe he will start and begin his church on a day with 3,000 people here in a tongue supernaturally that nobody knew how to speak in their own language and gave their lives to the Lord. And then in his church with a church who says tongues are not for today. I don't believe he'll start his church with them coming right out of Pentecost and going to the temple gate and a man crippled from life leaping up and walking, and then in his church with us just starting a center for people that can never get out of a wheelchair. I am not saying that we shouldn't do these things. I am not. Listen, please hear me. Please hear my heart in this. I am not saying that we shouldn't build, you know, nursing homes and homes for babies that have deformities and help with hospitals. I give now and then to St. Jude. They just mess me up when they show those babies on TV. I love the work that they do there. I believe in all that. I believe in medicine. I believe in science. But I believe in the power of Jesus in the church, on the church, that should be today the same as it was then. Or if any thing, it should have increased by now, because we have the precedent of the early apostles. If anything, it should be increasing upon us. Come glory of God. And in any case, it should be exponentially increased, because there are more of us on the planet now than ever before. Another reason is I believe we just simply do not release our faith for miracles at times. You listen, don't you misunderstand me. I just buried my mother and my father in the last 2.5 years. So I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. You understand? I'm not saying, and don't you ever go around. Listen, I'm mama's talking now. Don't you ever go around to somebody who just lost somebody or somebody who is dying and they say, you know what, I just want to give it up and go to be with the Lord. Don't you ever point your religious finger at them and say, well, you just don't have enough faith. Don't you ever do that. Don't, and if you do, don't tell anybody you go to this church. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And there's a time for miracles. And I think discerning the difference is where the church needs to be. So we default to what we know and we don't have enough faith. You know, one reason Carrie and his family saw so many miracles growing up, and don't take this wrong, but their parents wouldn't go to doctors. And so it's like, if we don't get healed, we're going to die. Phil, am I right? Phil has been miraculously healed. Carrie was miraculously healed. Their brother Stan was miraculously healed of a kidney disease. They experienced things that a lot of people haven't experienced. But, you know, one reason is because they just said, we're just going to believe God or die. And we don't do that anymore. So that could be one reason. But I'm going to leave that because that could open up a whole other series. I don't want to leave you with more questions than answers today. But I believe one reason, and I believe it is a major reason, that we do not see more of the miracles of Jesus, the character of Jesus, the passion for Jesus. The reason we don't see what the early church saw in all those places where the, and it was several places that were shaken, literally shaken in that day as the Holy Spirit filled the room, is because we're not making room for God to fill the house. We come together on a Sunday and we experience a measure of God's glory, but then we go our separate ways. And we allow hundreds and thousands of things to distract us, as Pastor Tim talked about last week. And then, church, I'm just going to leave you with this, and I'm done here. And then we miss a couple Sundays. I miss Jesus. And we can't even remember what the glory was like. And we get so far detached from the glory of God that we have when we come together and magnify Him. That it's almost like, I don't even know why I go to church anymore. Maybe you're here today and you've been feeling that way. I don't even know why I go to church. I hope that something I'm saying today is waking up the hunger in you. It is so much more than going to church. God, deliver us from having worship experiences. You understand what I'm saying in that? My experience. God, deliver us from having services. And God, bring us into a dimension where every time we come together, we are so magnifying you that you can't help but fill the room. Shout, fill the house. Those of us raised in church can remember going to youth camps. How many have ever been to a youth camp? And by night two or three, everybody's saved. Everybody's filled with the Holy Ghost. Half of them are called to be missionaries. And I'm not making light of that. I believe the reason many times that we don't experience the glory of God is we're not making room. And you know what youth camp did? It paused our little flaky teen schedules. We got away from the school with all the peer pressure to do all the things that the peer pressure was telling us to do. And we got in a place where we could release the glory of God. And in those atmospheres, we got called to ministry. In those atmospheres, we got changed for life. But we shut down 4 or 5 days of our life to do it. I'm going somewhere and you know it. We don't make room. Have you ever been to a conference? A lot of you love going to prophetic conferences and worship conferences. And you'll take time off of your job and you'll go and there'll be a great speaker. And we try to go a couple times a year anyway to get filled and refreshed. And you go and you just think, oh, I wish this could happen at my church. Why is it happening at the conference? Come on. Let's get our stupid caps off here. Why is it happening at the conference and not at your church? Maybe because at your church you only come in once a month. Maybe at your church you've never prayed for a single worship service. Maybe at your church you're not coming in and opening your mouth when we get ready to praise God. Maybe at the conference there's thousands of people there, so you don't mind waving your hand, but you get in church and you all like a statue. maybe at the conference, maybe at the conference, it's the simple fact that you shut down 3 days of your life to get with God. I'm done. I promise you. I told you in the beginning that when we started talking about the glory of God, we were created with glory. I told you the further they got away from the garden where sin happened, but where the glory was manifested, the further they got away, the less they lived. When they live in 900 years, by the time you get to David, he only lived 70. And that's kind of still with us today. 70, 80, 90 years, you know, they say 83 is the average for a woman right now. You know, I'm going to break all averages and all odds in Jesus' name, right? Okay, but you see what happened? The further removed they were from the glory of God, God intended them to really live forever. Death wasn't in the picture originally. You see that? Okay, all right, New Testament. The further the church has gotten away from the day of Pentecost, they started in a blaze of glory. Everywhere they went, they were so full of the glory of God that even their shadow, when their shadow fell on somebody, that person got healed. And now we're in a day where we're like, God, please just heal this headache. Just please validate me here, God, and heal this headache. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here, but I'm just saying somewhere along the line, we've missed it. Somewhere along the line, we haven't pressed the way we're supposed to press. Now, listen, I told you this last time. I'm putting it out there for you. I'm asking you to mark the dates down. And it hurts me that I have to plead with you. January the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st, we are going to set aside 3 nights. You can go a few nights without sleep. You can go a few nights without your television series. You can go a few nights of having to get up and go early the next day. You can go a few nights, church. We can do it. Church, we can do it. Three nights. That's all we're going to do. Unless God shows up and says more. Listen. For some of you, you're like, oh my God, I know what they're going to do. If you know my sister's church out in Arizona, every month they have 3 nights of meetings, the first of the month. I am not copying them. I am not saying, I have no intention at this moment in time of us starting revival services that go every night. You understand? I understand the day we live in. We have to work because we owe so much money. And not only do we have to work, mama and daddy has to work because we owe so much money. And it takes so, and I understand we have jobs, we have work, we have commitments. And you know what? You do that as unto the Lord. Work and serve as unto the Lord. But my God in heaven, can we please take 3 nights and set aside and see what God wants to do? Can we? Teams, A team, can we? Worship team, can we? Security, can we? Children's ministry, can we? We can. We can. And I feel directed of God to do it. So for 3 nights, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we are going to come together having invited in Prophet Lloyd Bustard, who God has used. Some of you right now have gotten a promotion and a raise, and you have balanced your budget because of the word that he released when he was here. You may not even know it, but it was released over this house. And I am hearing one testimony after another of what God is doing. Even this week, I'll let you share it, not me. Even this week of what God's doing and blowing open things for people's finances and for the wealth of their houses and their provision. Amen. That happens in the glory of God. Happens. Stand with me, would you? Those of you who are standing, I appreciate your agreement. Would the rest of you please stand? I'm not bringing y'all up. We usually start every year with a solemn assembly the first 3 nights of the first full week of January. We're not doing that this year. We're going to do the Holy Ghost encounter instead in January. So I'm just asking you all to please. I'm not trying to bring anybody under condemnation. But today is a dividing line in this church. And I don't ever want to see anybody leave. No pastor ever wants to see anybody leave. I don't want people to be like uncomfortable, you know? But God didn't call me to be your comforter. He gave you the Holy Ghost for that. He called me to prick you. Hebrews 10. He called us to stir up each other. There's more we can be, and there's more we can do. And I'm determined we're going to see it. I'm determined we're going to see it. The thing about the glory of God is when they, Peter, James, and John went up on the mountain and saw Jesus transfigured, the glory of God manifested on him. And he saw Elijah and Moses, and you know, Peter didn't want to leave. He said, let's build tabernacles. In other words, he said, let's just stay here. Stay here. What I've noticed about you guys, and we're going to have an opportunity for that this Wednesday night as well, when we come back together for worship this Wednesday, first Wednesday, is, you know, I'll get so conscious of what time it is. I know, oh, Lord, they got work in the morning. They got, you know, some of them get up, have to be at work at 6. And, you know, and then we dismiss and y'all just hang out. Because you're like, Peter, this is so good. Let's just build a tabernacle. And this weekend, you know, we sent people home Friday night. And some of them were saying, we should just get sleeping bags next time and stay here overnight. Just be here all night in this, in what God's doing here. There is glory on this house. If you notice, I am intentionally not being emotional. I'm not huffing and puffing. Don't guarantee that I won't, but I'm not. I'm not trying to be loud and boisterous right now. I want you to ask the Lord, touch your heart and make you ready for His glory. We have something that we ask the Lord here, and that is, Lord, please don't ever let us do anything without your presence. And we tell people this, and we believe it. If we can get you in the glory of God, anything can happen. Anything can happen. I'd like for you to bow your head. I'd like you to close your eyes. I'm going to get you out of here, quote, on time, unquote. If there's anyone in the room right now, it says, Pastor Manny, I can totally relate with some of the things you've said about not really even understanding why I go to church, why it's so important to be here. And in fact, I just feel like my walk with God is either non-existent or it's very dry. I'm going to ask all the prayer partners that know how to pray on this to pray and also open your eyes, but everyone else, close your eyes if you would. I'm going to ask you right now to lift up your hand and allow us to pray a prayer together. We're not going to single you out, but I would love to be able to lead you. Come on, everybody, just look at the hands that go up now. Lift your hand, and we're gonna get in a place where we can know the plan and the purpose of God. Somebody's going to come and pray with you. Lord, I want you, Lord, just to implant in me a hunger for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, I want to know you. And you can sing what the worship team just sang a minute ago. Let's pray this with everybody right now. Say this together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to see your glory, your splendor. I want to sense and feel the weight of your splendor. I want to be a carrier of your glory. Lord, I repent for everything that I have allowed to take up the place in my heart that belongs to you. Empty me out today. Strip me back of all my pride, even those possessions that take the place of you. I want more of your glory. I want more of your love. I want more of your power. I want more of your presence. And I ask you, Father, fill this house. Fill this house with your glory. And fill everyone in it with your glory. In the name of Jesus. Those of you who are praying, continue to pray.